Praise God. Hallelujah. Mighty Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, before we open up the word, let's just commit our time before God. And let's get in the spirit and in tongues as we commit our time before God, remembering that the Lord has got us into this room tonight also to be a light, to be witnesses, that this word goes forth. And as God said in the last days, it'll go to the corners of the earth. And if it can't go to the four corners of the earth through the internet, then I don't know where else it can. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Mighty Lord. Father, tonight we come into your divine holy presence. And Lord, we thank you that you have drawn us by your anointing, Spirit of God. And Lord, we come into your presence to praise you, but also to learn from you. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who comes and draws alongside to guide and teach us and lead us. And Lord, we commit this meeting into your hands tonight. We confess the blood of Jesus over it. And Father, over our minds and heart and spirit and all those who enter the room, Father, tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you have a remnant and you said, my sheep hear my voice. And we praise and thank you, Father, for this. We thank you, Lord, that it's not by might nor by power, but it is by your Holy Spirit, Father. And that is why we're here tonight, to worship you and to praise you. Father, we thank you that you are the one that opens our ears and eyes and hearts. For Lord, unless you touch us, we are blind. We do not hear, we do not see. But Lord, we thank you that we are touched by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Mighty Lord, wonderful Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Mighty God. Wonderful Savior. Hallelujah. Well, tonight I want to just encourage us in the Word. And for those who take notes, I'm calling our message this evening, Held by God's Grip. Held by God's Grip. And tonight I want to base this from Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 12. Of chapter 3 of Philippians. And here it says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. And very often we look at these scriptures and we even hear them taught, and of course the emphasis is about pressing on. I lay hold for that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. And we preach about our pressing on, being in this race, moving forward, and so on. But we have to remember that none of this can be achieved or even done unless we look at the latter part of this, which says that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. So the race that he speaks of, his walk, his life, his pressing in, that race that he's in, like we're all in, if we're walking with God, for any of that to be achieved and accomplished, it means that firstly that God has to lay hold of us. And that's why I call this teaching tonight, it's Held by God's Grip. And when we become saved, filled with the Spirit, we start to become aware that God is holding us with a firm grip. And thank God that he does do this. We are at times trying to turn aside to other things, what we want to do, but we find that God is holding us with this firm grip. I thank God that he does hold us with this firm grip. And all the way through scripture to the salvation of Israel being set apart as a nation, here we see that God has to hold this nation with a firm grip. Because if God doesn't do this, and we're left to ourselves, it's going to be absolute disaster. Let's turn to just familiarize ourselves with all of how God does this, to also Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 32 to 33. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 32 to 33. And we need to remember that here God is now speaking to the children of Israel. They've been under Moses' ministry for many, 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 many years. He's now about 120 years old. And he's now addressing this new generation that is going to be raised up under new leadership under Joshua to go in and possess the land. And so he's reminding them again of God's commandments. And in this we see here in verses 32 to 33, he says, "Therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that you may be well, that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess." And so here we get this idea of being held by God's grip, which we've just been looking at in Philippians. And it is so that we don't turn to the left or to the right. And unless God holds us in that grip, we will do precisely that. But we also have to have a heart and a desire and a want that God will hold us firmly with his grip. And you see, the children of Israel, in their rebellion and unbelief, they kept fighting and rebelling against firm grip. They didn't want it. And God wanted Israel to obey him. And for God to get this obedience, like he does, he has to hold us with a firm grip. It reminds me of like a child. We've often seen it on our everyday walk or down in the town or whatever it is. And there a child, you know, is just beginning to walk, and mother or father is holding the hand of the child. And you can see at times that child wants to get free. It doesn't want to hold its parents' hands. It wants to run off, and he wants his or her to do their own thing. And so after a while, when you're firmly holding your child, they start to play up, or they start to cry and try to break that lock. But the point is, you are holding them, because if you don't, there's a lot of people maybe, and they can get lost. Or you have a firm grip on them because there's busy road, there's traffic, and so on. And so it is important that you hold on to your child. It is being responsible. It is being protective. And so you hold with a firm grip the child. God does exactly the same with us. Exactly what I've just read there in Philippians. And the Apostle Paul, he saw this. In order for him to run this race and to complete this race, he was aware that God had to hold him firm in God's grip. And you have to do exact think the same and want the same. And there's sometimes when God holds us in that grip and rebelling, we want to get free, we want to get loose of it. But you see, God sees Just like you as responsible parents, you see the potential danger, what would happen by letting go of that grip of that child. Now, you may take your child to various places. You may, for example, take your child from a busy town with roads and traffic, and then you may take them out into the woods, or you may take them into a park. And so then when they get into the park where it's safe, they then can be let loose, in a sense. But even though they're let loose from that grip, you still are keeping an eye on them as they run around and burn up their energy like children do. And so it's the same with us spiritually. There are some times in our everyday walk where, in God's infinite wisdom and foresight, he sees things, or he sees danger ahead, and therefore he's going to hold us sometimes with a real firm grip. And that real firm grip can be very noticeable. And when you're going through that, or you just sense as though, you know, he's holding you so tight, you thank God for that, because in his foresight, there's a reason why he's doing it. There may be danger lurking about. There may be the enemy who's coming full on to try and distract you, or tempt you, or destroy you. There's all sorts of things. God sees so differently to us. So there may be at times where God holds us with this firm grip. And then you can go through a season where it just seems as though he's released that grip a little bit. We seem to have a bit of freedom, and so on. Well, the reason maybe he's done that for a season is because the conditions are right. You're out in that park or in the woods playing, but he's still keeping an eye on you. So we go through various different seasons in our walk, sometimes in our trials and in our tests. And so we need to be sensitive and understand that sometimes God is going to have a firm grip on us for a season. Although he overall has that firm grip, and thank God he does. But I'm comparing this just like mother and father with children and how they protect them. Now, the Holy Spirit has come baptizing us to restrain us from doing many things which outwardly might look perfectly right, or is perfectly right for others, but is not right for you or me. And there you see again God's firm grip over you. And that he's got a reason for that. And what may be permissible to someone else may not be permissible to you. And there's a number of reasons why in God gripping and holding us, that he has a reason for that. One may say, well, you know, here we are in the deeper life teaching. We're going on deeper as disciples. God's raising sons in this last days. He's preparing his bride. She's making herself ready. We have to understand that God working that with us and through us means that he has to have a grip on us. And so what might be permissible to a lot of other professing Christians is not to you or us. And there may be a good reason for that. The greater light that we are receiving, the greater revelation of God that we're receiving, the greater wisdom and knowledge and understanding is required. I said on Sunday about when Jesus very often used to heal or deliver. He very often said, go away and tell no one. That, if you like, was the grip of God's hand on that situation. God grips us like he does because of his glory, his name, which he will not have defamed. And so we have to be open and sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because everything we're doing, which is led by the Holy Spirit, is ultimately to give glory to the name of Jesus. But that has to be taught us. We have to learn the Word of God. And God has to ultimately work with us over the years by the Holy Spirit. So here we're seeing that there is this grip of God that's set upon us. But we need to be very careful with this grip, this holding that He has over us. Because sometimes we can start to become critical, or we can criticize, or we can criticize other people. We need to be very careful that we don't criticize other people, because they may not be seeing or experiencing what you are. Therefore, because you have that grip of God over your life, they may not have that same grip, that same holding. And that is just a fact. We have just to accept that. But we need to be very, very careful that we don't become critical. One could say, for example, well, I know so-and-so who's a Christian, and I saw what they did, you know, how that they deceived that person, and I know they deceived them, and yet I did the very same thing. And look how God chastised me and dealt with me, and it looks how they got off it lightly, but when it came to me, I fell victim to it. Look how God dealt with me. We need to be very careful that we don't become resentful and critical because of God's firm grip over our life. No, brothers and sisters, we need to praise and thank the Lord. If we are aware of that firm grip over our lives, thank God for it. That's God's divine power preserving and keeping us ultimately from self. Self is our worst big idol. That is why the Apostle Paul boasts in the cross of Jesus Christ, because he saw the cross deals with the biggest idol in man, and that is himself. And he will always worship that idol of self. He will give that idol the very best offerings that can be given to that idol. And so the cross that we now boast in, that we too are to take up daily and follow Christ, that deals with that God of self, that idol. And so as we want that, and we see the Holy Spirit working that with us as he changes our minds, our thinkings, as we put on the mind of Christ, as the Word says, so we become aware of God's grip, that firm hold over our lives. But the Apostle Paul saw that that grip is essential for him to run the race, to endure to the end, which each saint is to do. Because by running, enduring to the end, and making it to the end, is a sign that you have been eternally saved from the foundation of the world. The only way that you will ever know you're saved and will make it in is by enduring and remaining right to the end. And so that grip that God has upon our lives enables us to be able to stay in it and see it through right to the end. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. But we need to be careful at times when we're going through those trials, that like those children who are trying to get release from the parents' grip, that we sometimes can do the same. Sometimes a child can be held by its mother or father, but they're seeing other children that are walking in the same street who are not being held, are just free to roam around and get lost. And so you think to yourself, well, they're not being held by mother or father. Why do I have to be? Well, one day we're going to learn that our Father is the greatest parent, and he's very responsible over us, and he holds and grips us because he doesn't want us to be lost. Children can very easily be lost, because they wander off and they can move very quickly. Sometimes we need to be careful, because God may require maybe more prayer from me as a Christian. And yet I know many, many other Christians, they have very little prayer life. And yet they seem blessed. Everything seems to be going for them. Yet, you know, God wants this prayer life out of me. He burdens me for prayer and intercession. And sometimes, you know, you can just feel as though you're the only one that's praying and nobody else is pulling their weight. Well, that's God's grip over your life. That's what he's requiring. And so it's no good looking to other people. It's what God is doing with you. You may find that you are one that gives more, that you may give also in a practical way, that you do an awful lot in the church, that you seem to be there in the background, just doing things and so forth, and you feel sometimes you're the only one that's doing it. That is God's firm grip over your life. And he's holding you because that's what he wants you to do. That's what's glorifying his name. It might seem very menial. It might seem as though, you know, well, I can't see I'm glorifying God much in all of this, but the point is you are. Never limit God how you glorify him. Sometimes just to give time for a person, which you would never do in the natural, is glorifying the Lord. And so going that extra mile sometimes that God requires of us is a sign that God is grip upon you. He's holding you in that situation, enabling you to be able to go that extra mile, which in the natural you couldn't do. In weakness, he makes us strong, the Word of God tells us. Well, how are we made strong in that weakness? By God's grip on our lives. It can't be achieved otherwise. And so we find at times where we're at the end of ourselves, it feel we've got nothing left, and yet here I'm going on with it. That's a sure sign of God's grip and hold in that situation. And that's where you're glorifying him. Hallelujah. So never limit God and never try to get free from that grip. And sometimes we do, even in our trials. You know, let's take Job. Probably none of us will ever go through what Job went through. He outwardly lost virtually everything. How do you think Job sustained and was kept in that impossible situation? And even his wife said to him, curse God and die and give up. She wasn't much use. He was sustained because God had a grip on him. And because God had a grip on him, therefore God was able to challenge Satan. And it was God that brought Job to Satan's attention. You read it. Have you considered my servant Job, a righteous man? And so Job said, right, I'll have a look at him. Well, if you leave me loosed on him, let me sort him out. I'll show you that he'll blaspheme you. He'll give up on you. And God said, okay, you go ahead. But one thing you won't do, you will not take his life. Now, why did God have confidence over Job? Simple. Because God had Job's hand spiritually firmly gripped in his hand. And that is why God will say the same thing over your life and allow you for a season to go through maybe what you're going through. And it seems as though it goes from bad to worse, just like it did with Job. But take heart, brothers and sisters. That is a clear sign God has his grip upon you. He's not going to let go. Because otherwise, God knows Satan is too strong, he's too clever, and he will consume us. Because that's his nature. He goes around like a roaring lion. So God has to firmly grip us and hold us. And that is why we go through the trials that we go through. And God is going through those trials with us because he cannot and will not let go of that grip. Praise God. We're firmly secure, brothers and sisters, in the hands of Almighty God. You know, sometimes we often want to follow what others are doing, because in nature we're like sheep. That's what we are in nature. The Bible is absolutely clear on that. And you know the nature of sheep, they all follow one another. And so there are times when God doesn't want you to go with the rest. And he has a good reason for that, because he's holding us firmly in his grip. God didn't want you going the broad way, which most who profess Christ do. Most, we're told, that Jesus showed us, that go that way. But God's firm grip on you said, no, you're not going that way. You are going to go the narrow way, because that's the way I take you and preserve you and keep you. And my friends, when you go through that narrow way, and it is a narrow way, you become very, very aware of God's grip and hold on your life. How do you know that? Because in the natural, you couldn't do it. Everything that God requires and wants of us is impossible in the natural. Everything that God, we hear, we read, even through anointed teaching, we know in our flesh, in ourselves, it's absolutely impossible. It can't be done. It can't be achieved. And that's what makes it God. And therefore, God provides. He supplies. He takes over at that point when we realize the flesh, the will, the heart cannot walk this walk because it's impossible. That is when God grips hold of our hands and takes hold of our hands, and he will not let go. That tells you that God is holding you, because you are walking the narrow walk, and you are walking where most are going the opposite. Even though many of them might be confessing Christ and that they love the Lord and they're Christian or whatever, and yet you find yourself walking another direction. That is God's grip holding your hand, because he doesn't want you following the rest like a lot of lost sheep. There are so many out there professing Christians, but they follow the rest like lost sheep. They're blind leaders of the blind, that Jesus said. Broad is the way, many there be that go that way. But narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. And for that to be achieved, we have to have be held by God's grip. Because we're not going to do it otherwise. It's completely contrary to us. It's contrary to our mind, to our thinking, being sheep in nature. We want to follow and copy and do what the rest do. But God says, no, I have a better way for you. I have a way that I am going to take you through. I think one of the things that God opened my mind to and eyes to as I was preparing this, the narrow way, and that narrow way actually means that only one sheep can go through at a time. And why does God show us that one sheep goes through at a time? Because that is where you know God then is holding you by his hand. He's gripping you. That then shows us that God is in our lives, that he's called us, that he's leading us. You don't know that if you're in a broad way. and going through a broad way where lots of sheep are going through? How do you know that God's holding you? He's got you firmly gripped in his hand when you've got others mingling around and you're copying them and you're not sure what you're doing, you're not sure where you're going and so forth. You don't know that God's gripping and holding you in those circumstances. You only know it in the narrow way, which then makes it of God. And you have to say in your life, this has to be God in my life, because I couldn't do this otherwise. I would be going somewhere else, doing my own thing. We all of us would, if God wasn't gripping and holding us. I can tell you something, we wouldn't be here tonight in this room listening to this sermon. No way. You're here tonight, and I'll tell you why you're here tonight. You're not here tonight by mistake. God has gripped you. He's held you by the hand. He says, this is where I want you tonight. This is where I'm going to be glorified tonight. Isn't that wonderful? And so we can confidently say, just like the great apostle did, I'm in this race. I run this race. Because he knew he was gripped by God as he was laying hold onto eternal life. So you see, you become more and more aware that not only has God firmly got his grip upon you, but in return, you have your hand upon him as well, holding him. And that is the next thing that I want to bring in this, that he wants you to understand. He wants you to understand that he's gripping and holding you, but in any hold, it takes two people. Same as a child, your children you've had, you've held them firm by the hand, but it requires their hand to be in your hand and hold of him. And so in return, and we call it covenant, in return, you are holding on to him, and he most certainly is holding on to you. Therefore, you can now confidently say these things, just like the apostle did, and those early Christians as well, with their testimony and turning the world upside down like they did. You can have that confidence. Even though at times you're going through a trial, even if maybe you've missed the mark, yet you still know your heart's desire is to hold on to that firm grip, and that nothing will come against that, to release that. Hallelujah. Because that is where I glorify him. And it is exactly the same with you in your ministries, in the gift or gifts that God has given to you. And you don't necessarily have to be in the fivefold ministry. But every saint has the grip of God upon them for their ministry and what God is doing in and through them, which he might not necessarily require from another brother or sister. That is why the body is diverse. We are diverse. We see manifestations of God's dealings and workings in each one of us that makes up the function, the body, with Christ as head. That's what's so wonderful about it. This is why the body of Christ is not an organization, it's an organism that's living and functioning. And because it's an organism, that tells me, shows me, God's got his firm grip upon us, and that we're glorifying him in our life, our walk, our consecration, and what he has for us. Yes, and through the trials that we're going through. Sometimes our trials look very negative. But God has a purpose and a plan. And for that to be achieved and to be accomplished, for God to raise you up, to heal you, deliver you, if he doesn't grip and hold you, then that will never be achieved. We can only ever glorify God by the fact that he's gripped us and he's holding us. You can't glorify him otherwise, because we state our worldly minds, we'll do it in our own earthly sensual wisdom, thinking that's how we glorify God, and you never will. Unless God grips our life We don't know how to glorify the Lord. We'll just do it the way we think. And so to glorify him always at times is difficult. And you want to try and release yourself from that grip. Because you realize that grip, that hold, what God is requiring of you, you can't do it in yourself. The Apostle Paul knew he couldn't run that race unless God had gripped him and was holding his hand for that race that he might make it in. And so as he became more and more aware of that grip, that hold from God's hand, which he too wanted to hold on to, he then was built up, quickened in the face. He could confidently say these things. And we too can do the same. But it can never be achieved by ourselves. And yet we have so many in Christendom who think they can do it in their own strength, in their own wisdom and carnal minds. And you never will. So many Christians out there think they are building the body of Christ in the last day. So many out there think that they are preparing the bride of Christ. Which it says she makes herself ready. Indeed she does. What it actually means is she's making herself available in which to be anointed, empowered to be made ready. Christians, you cannot build the kingdom of God. Movements have tried to do it through generations. Try to build the kingdom of God on the earth, and it's ended in disaster. Try to build a Tower of Babel, ended in disaster. Because they have never experienced God's grip hold upon their lives. And when he holds you and he's gripping you, it will never be in your flesh what you want to do. And he's going to move you into situations that you won't want to do. He's going to take you to situations that you will never want to go in yourself. I know I've said this before. I never came into this ministry until God gripped me for it. I was already preparing my life to do some other ministry for the Lord. Until God called up with me and firmly gripped me and said, no, this is the ministry you're going to do for me, and that is to be a pastor, teacher. But for that to be done, God had to hold me in his hand. And yes, I rebelled. Yes, I got something else in mind that I wanted to do. Jonah, who was called to go and prophesy to Nineveh, what did he do? It's a classic example. The moment he hears from God, the next thing he's on a boat going the opposite direction and lands up 3 days in the fish's belly. But in that experience of 3 days, that is where God gripped him and held him firm. And then when the fish gurgitated him out onto dry land, he was then ready to go and prophesy to Nineveh. And of course, as we result, we know from that the city turned away and repented. What's the sign of that? That is God's grip upon that prophet. And so you're going to see this, brothers and sisters, at times. You're going to see when God turns you in your tracks. And you think, what has happened? I thought this was the way for me. God has a better plan, a better way. And thank God for this. I know in our flesh we hate it. But when God grips us and holds us like he does, that is when he's glorified. Hallelujah. You know, God requires different things from each one of us. And that's what makes it all so interesting in the body of Christ. We're not all the same. We're not all stereotyped. We're all different, fearfully and wonderfully made in the hands of God. But we all have one thing in common if we love the Lord Jesus and we're destined for the throne. He's got his grip on us, brothers and sisters, and all of that we can identify with. I want to leave you with a couple of scriptures that simply confirm this grip, this hold that the Lord has on our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 5, he says here, he's talking about an inheritance that we have in Christ that's reserved in heaven. And he says in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Here we are. We're kept by God's power, God's grip, his hold. And thank God for this, because God will not have anyone otherwise. No one will respond to God's call, his message of love and salvation. It's not in man. Unless God's initiative and in his mercy and grace puts it in our heart and then takes hold of our hand first, none of us stand an earth of a chance. Forget it. Because we'll always go and do our own thing. Because the God of self, the idol of self, will always sacrifice more to that than to God. And the second scripture in 2 Peter chapter 1, 2-4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2-4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Listen here what this apostle is saying, inspired, led by the Holy Spirit, in his greeting to these saints. He says, grace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So again, it has to be knowledge. We have to be taught. We have to be fed this by the word of God. For what purpose? Because he says here, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life. Whose life? Life in Christ. So here again, we have this idea of God's divine power set in motion, God's grip, his hold over us, holding our hands in order to give us life in him. And he says not only that life, but because God is godly and holy, he has to work in our hearts in order for that godliness. And that is achieved through knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. And that's why he has to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, has to come and teach us all of that. Bring that to us. The Holy Spirit brings to us the divine power of God to preserve and keep us. The Holy Spirit brings to us God's grip over our lives. We stand no chance otherwise. So that godliness can become in lives, by which we have been given exceeding great and precious promises. That is why we hold on to the promises of God's word. For they are all yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Why? Because they have been given to us. God gripped our hand, our life, and he brought us to those promises. You didn't go to those promises. You didn't see those promises. God brought us to those promises and opened our eyes to see those promises. That is why we should never doubt him. All those promises that I see, that I read, have been brought to me. God opened my eyes to see it. And brothers and sisters, when we can start to rest by faith in that, we're going to start to see much more of those promises coming in our lives, our ministry, and for the church in this last day. And that is where God gets all the glory. He says that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through the lust. So he says that these divine promises that he's revealed to us by gripping us, holding us, he says, I want you to know that you are part of me now, part of the divine nature. And so he's beaming to say that my nature now that's been changed, renewed, is divine after Christ, after God. It is a divine work he's put within me. Hallelujah. I'm a partaker. I am part of the Godhead, of his fullness now I too have received. But for us to experience that, and to enter into this, and the reality of this, God has got to firmly grip and hold us, as it will never be achieved. You will never really know. You will only know it academically. You will only know it by reading it. And there are many, many who profess Christ. Yes, there are many who can quote the word infinitely better than most of us. Certainly me. They can recite it, they can memorize it, and everything. But the point is, are they partakers of the divine nature of God? There was one man some years ago, I've never known anyone who could quote scripture like he did. But sadly, the arrogance and the pride and the lack of love that was there. And one day I said to him, you have all this knowledge, you quote all the word, but I said, do you really know the author of that which you quote? And my goodness me, you should have seen the manifestation that came out of him in what I said. But I felt at that right time I needed to tell him that. You leave people like that with God. It's not about how much you can quote, how much you can memorize, how many verses you can memorize, and I'm all for encouraging one to do that. The point is, at the end of the day, am I gripped by God, and in order that he is divinely teaching and showing me? Because when he's that is your experience of God's word. That is your experience of the divine nature. God doesn't only want to tell you this, that you are a partaker of his divine nature, but he wants you to enter into the experience of that which he reveals. And that is what is needed in the last day. That is what the sons of God will mature and develop into. And this last day ministry that God is preparing and raising up is a ministry that will experience, and by the love of God. Jesus walked by experience. He walked because his Father was in him. And that is why wherever he went, he divided darkness, because he was light. Why, even the very demons cried out at times, and they knew who he was. He didn't have to work at that. It just happened. Because he walked in the light of his Father. And God is ultimately doing the same with us. And he will do it. But in order for that to be achieved, God has to grip us, hold us firmly. Because it will never be achieved otherwise. Our flesh is too strong. Unless God works with the flesh and with the pride, it can never be achieved. So we have in these great writings and these epistles that they speak about here, that we're kept by the divine power of God. And I thank God for that. I often remind myself of that. I often say it. I say it in my prayers. I thank God in my prayers that I'm kept by his divine power. I can boast in nothing of this. It is all of God. So brothers and sisters, tonight is your experience. Are you held by God's grip? Only you can answer that. And I trust that you are. Hallelujah. Father, we again thank you tonight. We thank you for our fellowship. We thank you, Father, that we are kept by your power. You are holding us. Maybe some of us, Father, are trying to get out of that grip. We feel we've had enough. I want to go my own way. But, oh Lord, don't let us go. Whatever we do, however we grumble sometimes, Lord, please don't ever let us go, Father. Hold us firmly in your grip. Because our heart's desire at the end of the day is to hold your hand also and not let go of you. Lord, there are so many temptations, so many allurements. There is just so much in this world. But Lord, you called us out of the world, out of darkness into light. But Lord, you have left us in the world for a reason. And I believe one of the reasons is so that you can reveal and show us that we're kept by the power of God until the day of salvation. And therefore, Lord, because we are, we can rest in that. We don't take it for granted like the children of Israel did. But Lord, we thank you for it. And so thank you for our assembling tonight. I thank you for drawing us all in together.